We're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio, Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions football week three. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown, and what a week three it was. It was a little week.
Wait a minute. You know what? Like I said, some of these weeks I look forward to. This is one of the weeks I look forward to. I don't look forward to it because we're talking about a Lions loss of the game. I look forward to it because of the whining incessantly of the media in this town and some of the rationale they make behind everything. After today's game three, Lions 1-2, you would think that Dan Campbell should be fired, ran out of town on a rail, and it's all his fault. He's had 100 bad calls in the game, and if it wasn't for him, the Lions would be 3-0. All right, wake the hell up, people. Wake the hell up and look at what you're dealing with and look at the game for the game itself. We'll talk about all these decisions and everything. But the overreaction from first week, it was the Lions are going to go 0-16. To the second week, the Lions are going to go 15-1 or 16-1. To this week, the coach is terrible and it's time to change the regime. I just can't take it every week.
Well, you're going to have to learn to take it because that's the power and that's the appeal and the drag of the National Football League.
Yeah, but it was never this bad. Look, Mike, you've been there through all these coaches. You've been there through the Fonts here and all these coaches. It has never been as bad.
Did Johnny come lately? Go back to Daryl.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying look, I'm trying to – for the listeners who are here, the Fonts is probably as far as they go back. But I'm just saying these things, they never change. But I think the – one of the problems is, and I should be saying this because we're doing a podcast, there's too many damn voices out there that don't know what the hell they're talking about
official status. But let's go back to in time. It was after a game like this, there was me, Kurt Sylvester, Tom Kowalski, Bruce Johns from Booth Newspapers up in Flint, and two or three other guys who'd wander out to the press conference on Monday. Now you've got, people chiming in, rightfully so, they've got the right to do it. Maybe 20, 25, 30 people, especially when you lose.
No, not even 25, 30. I'm talking about you go on YouTube or you go on Twitter.
Well, I don't go on.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because you don't like that type of stuff. But there's a bunch of these people out there that have these podcasts and they have followings. And I'm not talking about guys like Pride Detroit who do a great job and Jeremy covers the game. And he knows what he's talking about. I'm not talking about guys like him. I'm just talking about these off the fly by wall cats that just come out of the woodwork and don't know what they're talking about. But it spreads and it spreads to 10 people, it spreads to 20 people. I don't want to get into them. I don't want to do the whole podcast on how this is covered. But I just want to say, as Aaron Rodgers once said after a game one loss years ago, relax. Relax. All right. That's all I got. Let's get to the game. Now, saying all I'm saying, there were some decisions that I think could have went other ways and decisions I was not in favor of, but that's what you do when you coach. And sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't. I think two decisions yesterday did not pay off, and we'll get to the game in a minute. But overall, which I covered because I took Detroit in the points, I thought they played a good game, should have won, could have won, but they're just – there's just missing a couple of things to win a game like that. And then I'll let you talk, and then I'll tell you what the things I think they were missing.
Well, a couple of things. And, I agree with you. This is a game the Lions could have won, but more importantly, they should have won because they were in position. They really were in position twice to really take a stranglehold on this game. Once they got up 14-0, and then 24-14 midway through the fourth quarter, you've got to have the knockout punch, and they didn't have it. And when it was 24-14, they had a chance to strengthen their hold there. And I'm sure we're going to talk about this play call because I didn't agree with it, and I still don't agree with it. And then what happened at the end where, a 28-yard a touchdown catch with nobody near him by K.J. Osborne. It just – Kenny, most weeks, when you come in here on Monday, it's on to the next opponent. It's on to Seattle. Today it's back to Minnesota, the Minnesota Vikings, because of how the Detroit Lions lost that game. Some losses, for example, Kenny, the opener to the Eagles, It was disappointing, but it wasn't crushing because you know, after being ahead 7-0 and it got to 21-7, you were never really, you didn't have the lead. You're always clawing back. And it was a really representative performance against what has proven to be a superior team. They're better than the Detroit Lions, the Eagles are. Minnesota Vikings aren't better than the Lions. Not at all. They're not as good as the Lions. And that's what makes this one just chafe all the more, because just think about this right now. This, look, I understand it's week three, but this is the National Football League. Like I said, this is the grip that the National Football League has on people. I mean, it's such a grip that people think that Russell Wilson played well last night in an 11-10 win. That's the overreaction of the National Football League. But the Lions win yesterday, and they're 2-1. They're in a four-way tie for first place, and they're going to go beat Seattle on Sunday at home at Ford Field, and they're going to be 3-1. And you know what? And they're probably going to beat the Patriots in week five before they get to their bye.
See, see, this is where me and
yes,
you, you already done won them, put two victories. This is the problem, Mike. You done put them two victories ahead already. Just go for right now. You can't be going 2 weeks up in 1 week.
No,
up. Talk about
is,
no.
Hold
it's,
on a second.
No.
My point is, this is what winning does.
No, winning. Sure, no, what you just did was your imagination. Oh, well, if they won yesterday, they'll win next week. No,
right,
nothing goes week to week. This is what I'm saying. Nothing goes week to week.
I agree with you.
They could just as easily have won yesterday and came and laid a goose egg, which I've seen 1,000 times, at home against Seattle.
They will not lay a goose egg.
I said they could have after winning yesterday.
Okay,
so anything could happen. So you got to take yesterday's game on just yesterday. Forget about what could happen.
But that's why this loss, this one stings.
No,
it really stinks
for a day. It stings for a day.
No.
It may sting to Wednesday. Then you move on. It's the third game of the season. It's not like this
I
was
gotcha.
The tour. Okay. Like I said, I always go back to that game in the Mooch era where they were 3-3-1 and they played Chicago. And it was for first place, and it was this big build-up. And, oh, my God, this is what – and Chicago beats them in overtime. Garcia throws an interception, I think. I remember what happened. Oh, my God, season's over. After 7 games, they built that game to be so big, nothing matched it the rest of the year, and the rest of the year was trash. You can't build these things up more than what they are. It's the third game of the year.
You're going back 20 years.
I'm saying about 10 years. It's about 10 years. And it's the third game. It was about 2004, 2000. Okay, about 15 years. But I'm just saying.
That's 18 years.
Okay, but I'm just saying you can't build these things up more than what they are. It's the third game of the year.
That's the drama of the National Football
League. No, that's the bull of the people around football. Football itself, it's the third game. It's 1 of 17. Move on to the next one.
I'm gonna harp about this one.
All right, let's get to the points because me and you are never gonna agree on this. But I put it like this:
okay.
Dan Campbell made decisions yesterday. I didn't have to agree with him, and I probably don't. But I'm not gonna be like somebody. I'm not mentioning a name who this is the worst thing Dan Campbell did, and the malfeasance and all this other crap. it's just stupid. I mean, the stupidity
Hold on a second. What station did you?
I'm not saying any names. I'm just saying it's stupid.
Well, tell me.
It's stupid. Let's get into it. Let's go from the last play first. The last play, the field goal. You have three options: field goal, punt, or go for it. It's 4th and 4, minute 14 left. To me, any of the one you choose were okay because right now it looked right now it's the wrong one. If he makes the field goal and Minnesota takes a minute and doesn't get a touchdown, which you play totally different if you're up 6 than you're up 3 because you're playing not to tie when it's 3. Up 6, you're just playing for him not to get to the end zone, use that minute, and you know, you push everybody back to that end zone and don't let them get in. So it's totally different how that would have ended up. Now, he makes the field goal. Nobody's complaining today. He punts the ball. Let me finish.
What would have happened,
John? I'm about to say that. He punts the ball. And they run it back or get a touchdown at the end and lose by one, then you're complaining about that. If they go for it on 4th down and you don't make it, and they go back and score it, then you're mad about that. If they go for it on 4th and make it, then it's the greatest call. So I'm saying everybody can say what a messed up call it is after the fact.
To me, it's this number one is to go for it. Because if you don't make it, then they're going to get the ball at the 36-yard line. This would be the 36, something like that. So, listen, you're taking at least another 8 yards. you're kicking at least another 8 yards off of it. You know, in other words, you're making them go a distance. My second choice probably would have been the field goal. I'm not sure about that. I go back and forth both ways. Either one, punt or the field goal. I'd go with either one as my number two choice. But Kenny, they've built this offensive line. They've built this offense. The offense is by far the team's strongest side.
Nobody's arguing it, Mike. Nobody's arguing.
Ken, just one other thing. I'm just making a point here. And within that, the strongest unit on it is the offensive line. So go with your strength.
Okay. When healthy, the unit's offensive line. No, healthy enough is not the strength of the team. When healthy they were, at that moment, when they were stuffed on the fourth down play previous series, and it was right in the gaps. It was their power. They didn't get it. I understand him saying, well, let me think about it. But this is two things I want to say about that. I would have went for it, too. I would have did that because you get 4 yards, the game's over. I would have went for it, too.
Right.
But there's two other things. Swift is hurt. Yep. Amon St. Brown is hurt. He's hobbling. Your offensive line wasn't playing that great at that time. In the last couple of series, they were not playing that great. The tackles were playing great. Your inside was not playing great. So he said, look, why do you have a kicker if you can't use him at a time like that? What do you even have him on the team for? If you can't depend on him to at least be close to make it, I mean, do something. That was one of the worst kicks I've ever seen. But I'm saying, but that's what his job is. If he does his job, the game turns out different.
Well, he didn't.
Okay, but I can't blame Dan Campbell doing it. Now, I wouldn't have did it either. I would have went for it. But my second choice was the field goal. And my third choice, my last choice was the punt, because you're not going to cough and corner, and they're going to get on the 25. So you're only saving 15 yards. So I wouldn't have did that.
They get it on the 20, but I don't think the punter had his greatest game, by the way.
Right. He had just kicked a 38-yarder right before that. So that was my last choice.
Hey, kick the 38.
Yeah, but it, you know, yeah, 38 when you don't need it. Now you need the 38, he would have did it. So
with a little backup on it.
So I can understand Campbell saying after the game, I made a mistake. But this is where I'm faulting Jared Goff, and he said it himself in his press conference. You go to the coach and say, we got this. That's what you're the leader for. That's why you're getting paid $27 million a year, whatever you're getting paid. You go and say, the game's on my shoulders. We winning it right here. And I'm sure Campbell would have went along with it.
Well, and he said that, too. I agree with him. Yeah.
All right, take charge from this point on. Take charge. With Stafford, I don't know. Stafford might have. I don't think Stafford would have made it known that he wanted the ball.
I don't think Stafford would have done it. That has not been his style.
That's true, too. But I just think that Dan's got to – Goff's got to be a little more aggressive, and Dan's got to be a little more lenient to that. Because it's your – look, whether you guys like it or not, it's Jared Goff's team. And he's playing real well right now.
We can talk about this more, but I get all of that, Kenny. I really do. I thought that's a marginal call after going for it. I think the other two, it's marginal. It really is.
Yeah.
Field goal or punt, it's marginal.
And this is the one thing, like I said, I've been listening to all these shows all over the day and whatever. The one thing I haven't talked about, you know, after he misses the field goal, they take the ball at the 40-something, right, whatever it was, right? Minnesota gets the ball at like after the field goal was missed.
They got it at the
40-something.
44, I think it was.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. You are allowed to play defense after that, right?
No, you're not.
Okay, well, I'm not hearing nothing about that. You are allowed to play defense after that and keep them out of the end zone. Is that Campbell's fault, too?
Kenny,
I mean, you are allowed to stop the other team. You know, that is part of the game.
That was a three-play possession.
Right.
He went down 28 yards.
And yeah, the touchdown wasn't even the worst play. It was the pass to the left-hand side that not only does the guy catch it, then you let him get 10 more yards after I don't know how he gets away from the guy. I mean, what's going on? You are allowed to stop them.
I thought the touchdown was worse.
No, really look at that. Go back and look at the first play, that first pass.
Kenny, here's a news flash. I watched the games, okay?
Yeah, but that I'm telling you.
Okay. I watched the game.
Well, you don't watch it with the great eye that I am. The great eye that I am watching. Okay, so we'll let that go. They are allowed to stop them. You know, so they didn't. Okay, fine. You lost the game. To me, there was a play in the game. Now, I do have a problem with Campbell. It was a fourth and one, really fourth and less than a yard, and he throws the pass out to number eight, out to
Josh Reynolds. No, third and one. Third and one.
Didn't they go for it on fourth? Well, or was that a third down play?
This third and one at the 27-yard line with just under 11 minutes to go, 10:59 or something right. like that, and they throw the pass. I was listening to the game. I listened to Dan Miller's play-by-play and all the other stuff. And T.J. Lang does the sideline stuff. And he said, could tell that the offensive linemen weren't exactly happy with that call.
Yeah.
There were some thrown helmets and all that. I agree with
you.
Yeah. Now go back to what I said before. The offense is the strength of that team. And within that offense, the offensive line is the strongest unit.
Yeah.
That's
one of those where you outsmarting yourself. And Ben Johnson, we know you're bright, but sometimes don't outsmart yourself.
Kenny, first thing I thought of, look, make your bones somewhere else.
Right, today is not today.
Man.
Right, today is simple bread and butter football. Third and less than a yard. My cousin Lomas Brown said, put the blade down. And that's what you do.
I never should have told you that.
No, Lomas told me that. Put the blade down.
I told Tom, put the blade down.
Put the blade down. You go for that and run it.
And you know what? He was right.
That's the one I had a problem because you get that first down, you take a couple more minutes off. It was 10:50 left in the game there. It takes a couple of minutes off the clock. Then you're not in those late game situations. Number three after that, once Tracy Walker went out, you got to know your defensive backfield is going to be in a little shambles because a Warrior is a penalty machine today. So you got to know.
He only had five.
Well, I could have sworn it was seven. They probably 10 more they didn't call.
And a sixth one was declined.
Right, so you know he's having a little problem today. So two of your four members of your defensive backfield are having problems. You got to think about that and say, okay, I got to do everything to keep them off the field as much as possible.
No, I agree with that. The one thing I questioned with Amani or Warrior was this: take him out for a play, settle him down, then put him back in.
Right.
Now I know. Look, I know you get taken out between series and all that, but just say, kid, calm down. You're our best cornerback.
Right. Right.
Second best cornerback.
Well, you were the best last year. So
no, you're not. No,
I said, well, that's why I was telling you. You were the best last year.
Yeah. You used to be the best.
Now you're
going to
be the second best, right? So we tried to keep you at number two. We tried to keep you as the second best.
You know what you do? You take him to the sideline and you berate him in front of everybody.
That's right.
And then you make him feel like getting back on the field is a refuge.
That's right. Now, wait a minute.
By the way, they're taking the bus home.
As bad as he was yesterday.
Yeah.
Mike Hughes might have even been worse in a limited sample size. The hold on the goal line where the ball was no way in the world going to make it anyway, and that put them first and goal on a pass interference that they got the touchdown. That was 4 points right there that you gave them. They were going to kick the field goal. You were off the field. And Mike Hughes just looks like his philosophy of D-backing is I can trail him. I've never seen him like jumping routes. He's always trailing somebody. He's like your little kid, your little brother going outside behind you. He's always behind you. He's never with you. He's always behind you.
I know things happen in football. It's a tough game. But I've never quite understood defensive backs covering guys from behind in the end zone.
Right.
I don't get that.
Right.
I really don't.
I don't understand.
Now maybe sometimes you just get, you know, the guy makes a move and you get caught flat-footed and all that. I get it. But, geez, get in front of them.
Right.
Get in front of them.
Okay, now things that I am concerned about as we move forward.
Go ahead.
DeAndre Swift's health.
Yeah, God.
And now he's got a little shoulder. He's going to be gone a couple times, which is fine because I was going to say put him down for a couple of weeks, get that ankle healed anyway. So maybe it's the best thing. Maybe it's the best thing.
As Bill Rogers called it, get out and head the needle.
But
get out there.
Either he is the most injury-prone guy they've had in a while, or he's got to get tougher about playing through injury and pain.
Well, I don't know if you can. I mean, it's one thing about injuries. There's another thing about hurting. And if you're injured, you're injured.
Well, that's right. But are these things injury to him and hurt to somebody else? A sprained shoulder that could mean anything. I'm not saying he's not hurting, it's not serious, but I'm just saying that could also mean anything. Like I said, I saw Emmitt Smith strap it up with a separated shoulder. So, yeah, sometimes you got to play. And the ankle, he tried to play on it. I give him credit for that. But,
yeah. I mean, he made some plays.
He looked okay, but I'm just wondering, is it a point of his tolerance to this? He's got to do something because right now you can't depend on him.
Yeah. You know, there's another play that really didn't get questioned much, by the way, and that was by his running mate, Jamal Williams, after the touchdown. And, look, a terrific run. You know, got outside, was able to slant his way into the end zone, and then got a 15-yard penalty for
excessive
in the end zone.
Grinding.
Yeah.
That was a bull call, too. That wasn't anything excessive. I've seen worse on that was bull.
Kenny, they called the penalty.
I said it was bull. It was a bull call. I don't blame him for that. He's done nothing he hadn't done before. That was a bull call. Luckily, our weak field goal kicker was able to kick. Matter of fact, maybe we should have told him at the end of the game that was an extra point after Jamal, you know, did his gyrations. Maybe he would have made it because that was a better kick from about the same distance.
Yeah, but they were able to get out to the 40-yard line on that return. And come on, that really hurt them. That was a costly penalty.
I thought they assessed that 15 on the extra point.
On the kickoff.
Oh, it was on the kickoff. Okay, I was wondering why the kicker made it so good. Okay, I thought it because I was I didn't have my sound up. I thought they used to assess that on the extra point. Didn't they used to assess penalties like that on the extra point?
You know what? I'm not sure exactly how that works, but they put the penalty on the.
That was a bogus call. That was bogus.
No, I don't think it was bogus.
Hey, come on, Michael. Celebrating, really?
It's not celebrating. It's the way he celebrated in the guy's face.
It wasn't because he celebrated in the guy's face because it was nothing but lions over there. It was he celebrated with too many sexual gyrations. That was why they called the penalty. There was no Minnesota Vikings over there. It was only Lions.
Shouldn't have done it.
He shouldn't have. Look, you can't stop. You didn't stop Elvis in 56, did you?
Are you crazy? 56, you should have waited until 57 when Jim Brown was drafted by Syracuse.
Defensively, I got a problem. As good as Charles Harris is as a pass rusher, he's a sieve defensively. They ran over him over and over and over, pushed him out the way, through the way, under the way, and that's been the problem for the 3 weeks I've been watching the Lions play this year. Very, very weak on the run defense on that side.
Well, they run to that side, you know, and he's not the only one over there.
No, but I'm just saying, I just don't think that he's a smaller guy. He's really just a pass rusher to me.
No, he's like 5'3", 253, something like that.
Not 5'3".
I mean 6'3", 253.
Well, we got Mickey Rudy out there trying to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but he's on the lighter side. I want to see more Austin Bryant. I've been saying this for 2 weeks now.
So you're the one.
Hey, he's making plays in the preseason and in the last year. That's all I know.
You know what? I can't wait to see him next August.
Well, I tell you what, he had about as much contribution yesterday as Aiden Hutchinson did.
Yeah, that was a strange one. He did nothing.
No, well, he made one play. On that one play that they would have had a touchdown where they overthrew him, he did get in and rush Cousins. On that one play, he overthrew the guy going down the sideline.
I remember
that was the only play that I saw heard his name all day.
Didn't see anything. Yeah, I think TJ Lang once mentioned to me it was like he was kind of running around in there.
Yeah, it's like one of those battling like a top, man. He's just running around, but he's not doing anything. Another Brockers no show. That's gonna have to be addressed soon. That tackle spot is and everybody talk about the dancing bear McNeil and all this. He made one good hit yesterday, but I expect more out of him.
Yeah, I did too. I expected something out of him.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. So inside interior's got to be addressed.
I would agree with that. Maybe when Levi Onwuzurike gets back, maybe he'll, you know, be in good health and can contribute something. But listen, you gotta get on the field before you can.
That's what
anything.
I said. Yeah. Now
we'll see. Yeah.
Offensively, Brown gets hurt. Another thing is I'm still not getting enough out of T.J. Hockenson. And I'm gonna tell you one more thing too. If I see a third and six and he runs a 5-yard route again, I'm snatching out through the TV, Mike. I'm putting my hand in there and pulling him off the field. Why does he run routes 1 yard short of first down often?
Well, the idea is to catch the ball, turn up field, and get the first down, like he did on
No.
Do you remember the touchdown?
Yeah, but that, no. The idea on those plays where I'm talking is Goff is throwing to you. You are at the first down. There ain't no turning up. You get the ball, and you're at the first down. All you got to do is run the route 1 yard deeper. I mean, does he see the stick?
Of course he does.
No, he doesn't. And plus, he's not the kind of guy who runs over guys and throws. When he gets touched, he goes down. He's not one of those run-over tight ends.
You know what? I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was thinking about it again today. Every season, there's a player on a team that the bandwagon decides, you know, starts out with a couple of guys, we're going to get on this guy. And then there's five, then there's ten, and then there's the angle chorus or whatever they call it, anvil chorus. And you're on it. And this year it's T.J. Hockenson.
Okay.
He's going to examine T.J. Hockenson. Just like you were talking about before with all the people examining the loss, now we go to the player.
I've been saying this for weeks, though, Mike.
Oh, a week? Well,
number seven pick in the draft.
We have time.
Fifth-year picked-up option guy. And he's giving you 3 for 18. Come on, Mike. Come on.
And a touchdown.
Well, he had a touchdown, but that was more play design. He was wide open. Hell, you would have caught that and ran it in. Well, at least got to the two. You would at least got to the two before you got stuck.
He's also been doing a good job blocking.
Oh, okay. So do we giving brownies out now for doing a good job blocking? He's Mike. Come on. He should be one of the better players on that offense.
Didn't you just say a few minutes ago that this is only the third week? Relax.
I'm relaxing, but I'm telling you, I want him to pick it up. This is my point. But the running pattern stuff, that's got to stop. Because he ran one, it was a third and six or whatever, and he goes 5 yards and catches it 1 yard short. What is that? What is that? Goff is waiting for you to make your break, and he's going to throw it. You break at the damn stick. Come on, TJ. You're the fifth year in the league.
No, it's not. It's his fourth year.
I thought they picked up his option. I thought this was his fifth year.
His fifth year option. You know what the option is? It's next year.
Next year. Okay, it was his fourth year. Put it like this. Too many years for him to be acting like that.
Oh, you kill me.
Nah. I'm done talking. Those are my beats for yesterday. But my point again, and I'm going to say this as we continue this, people on this program, Michael here doesn't have to co-sign me if he doesn't want to. This is not the year they're going to win the Super Bowl. Okay, let me put that out there for you again. So you getting upset on a third game of a season in September because of a loss that they should have won true enough, enjoy the season. This is the season that you are getting the locomotive running. All right? Let them do what they're going to do. We hope they end, like I said, I predicted them for, I think they can win 9 or 8 games. But let them do it. And if that gets you to the playoffs, fine. But they have holes. They have holes on defense. They have holes on offense. They have health problems right now. And you have a coach that's finding out what he is, what he is. But all this, skirt pulling and pearl clutching and all that, I ain't having it. I ain't having it. You know, relax. You know? People just love to be unhappy. That's my whole thing. They just love to be unhappy.
You know what they love? They love to be part of. They love to think that they're part of the show, part of the game.
Right, but they just love to be unhappy.
That's what they're doing.
If somebody was giving out $20 bills, you know what they would say when they got them? Why ain't you giving out 50s? You know, it's just you just love to be unhappy. And if that's where you want to live, you do it. But I don't have to listen to it. Just come to the Kid and Mike podcast because we just lay it out the way it is and move on.
I'm glad you said that. I just checked to see if I have my 650s with me. Thank God.
Give them out. All right. So we're 1-2.
Yep.
1-2. Injury bug has played us because the day we found out Swift has a little shoulder, he'll be out a little while, evidently. Walker tweeted out about an hour or two ago by this recording that he's Achilles and he's done for the year. He'll be back.
Yep.
And I'm not here to throw dirt on the dead. But I expected more out of him so far that I didn't get this year.
Tracy Walker.
It's been good.
He's been good.
But yeah, I thought he was going to take that next leap, and that's why I'm upset that he got hurt, because I think he might have been able to do it.
He didn't get the mega contract. He got paid for the level player he is. He's a good player.
Good player.
A team captain.
Good
player. I mean, that's the way he got paid. Jimmy.
Yeah, but I thought that he could have. Playing this year, he could develop even more. And like Okuda, you see, if you give him the playing time, they develop more. And I think he's going to miss that playing time, and that's going to hurt him.
Well, of course it's going to hurt, but this is his fifth year. He is what he is.
Yeah, well, you think he is what he is, or is there more to him?
I think possibly just a little bit more, but he's not going to make a dramatic.
Okay.
I think he's a good starting quarterback. A good starting safety in the National Football League. That's what I think he is.
Okay. I think he can become more of a ball hawk. And that's, to me, what they're missing back there.
One thing in his career is he hasn't shown good hand-eye ball skills.
Right.
He just hasn't.
But that's what they need back there.
Well, then.
And you know who I think might be the one that is going to be that guy?
Who's that?
Is Joseph, the rookie from Illinois.
He hasn't played 1 minute yet.
No, I'm just talking about when he does get in. Well, he played some plays yesterday. He finally got in yesterday because he had to play. I'm looking at the snap count right here. He played how many snaps of I think he played 3 snaps yesterday, but he got in. He got in. So, anyway, my point being, he always has been a ball guy, Corey Joseph. Oh, I'm looking at this. He played 14 special team snaps yesterday, so he didn't play any defensive snaps.
I thought he played defense. Yeah, I know. No.
Okay. But he's going to have to play now.
Well, we'll see.
He's going to be rotating. Look, the Juju
it's not
Hughes.
Necessarily is going to be him.
He might not be him starting, but the Juju Hughes, these guys, you got to put some guys in there. Somebody's got to. They're missing a Glover Quinn type. Somebody back there that can snatch that ball at any play.
We were talking about reality before. The reality is it's the third week of the season. You're not going to go out and get. You're not going to start padding your roster. You are what you are.
No, I'm talking about playing guys who you got. I'm just talking about playing guys who you got. And I think Joseph is the one guy who's been shown he goes after. But even the preseason, he was a guy that went after the ball. And he might get burned a lot because he's – put it like this. On that last play that Hughes and the safety Hughes, one of those two weren't together on it. You can't get any worse than that. The guy was wide open. So putting a rookie out there to let him learn, it's not going to hurt you as much as some of these veterans are doing for you. So, you know, I want to see these guys play. And like I said, every time there's an injury, it's always an opportunity for somebody else. You just got to get into it.
Look, the offensive line is an example of that. That's really a special unit. They've got 9 guys who can play in the NFL.
Now, what did you think about yesterday putting they moved the center over to the guard spot and took out Stenberg? Do you think that was a better unit yesterday or not as good a unit as it was the week before?
Well, it was a better unit. He didn't see guys coming free to the quarterback.
No, he didn't get a sack. He didn't get a sack.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was. Look, they ran for 139 yards, and they gave the quarterback a chance to breathe. No, it was. Yeah, I thought it was a good move. I would have been surprised if they hadn't done it.
Really, I thought Steinberg was such a good run blocker that they were just going to deal with the pass protection.
No.
But
you just leave the quarterback. Get hammered.
Well, that's true. Look, I don't have a problem whatever they do. I like the offensive line. I like the coach, and whatever he says, I agree with let it go. And I think he's a good coach.
Thank you very much.
Hey,
now,
Haley.
We're going to talk about Jared Goff before we sign off. Or am I going to have to carry this till next week?
Let's talk about Goff last. Is there anything else on defense?
We're not done.
No, we're not done.
I'm getting hoarse.
We're not done.
Hey, I'm standing outside in the rain.
We're not done yet.
Even though it's not raining, but I just want to add a little drama to this.
I'm going to tell you, the play where Brown got hurt, there was a play in there afterward that hurt the Lions badly. It was toward the end of the game, and Khalif Raymond and Craig Reynolds bumping each other
collided.
On a play that would have went about 30 yards, and the game would have been over. But that's a play where St. Brown would have been in the game if he wasn't hurt. So injuries do affect you even if you're not in the game because you have to put the backup in. And I know who ran the wrong route. I mean, I don't have the film yet, but we can guess who ran the wrong route.
It ain't St. Brown.
And it ain't St. Brown, and it ain't Craig Reynolds. So you can go from there. So
or Josh Reynolds, yeah.
Josh Reynolds. Well, I say Craig Reynolds. Craig Reynolds running. And you know what? this is an opportunity for Craig Reynolds to step up the next couple of weeks and Jackson to step up if Swift's going to be out. And I say put him out until he's healthy because five carries, seven carries, if he can't give you 15 carries and five catches or whatever, then it's no sense in him being out there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
So 1-2.
Well, I'd rather have him. You know, I disagree with you. I'd rather have him play a few plays than no plays. Just manage it, that's all.
Well, like I said, the Lions are 1-2, but the Bears are 2-1 with a quarterback that throws for 100 and some yards in the game. Hasn't shown a lot, really. They're 2-1. I'd rather be where the Lions are right now. I'm sorry. I'd rather be as a team where the Lions are, even though the records are not the same right now. That's why I'm not panicking about this. The Lions are a good team. This is a good team. They're a good young team. But they have to play almost perfect to beat a good team, especially on the road, because they're not deep in some spots, and they're young. You're going to fight. We're going to fight through this all year. There's going to be another game where you think they won and they're going to lose. And it's going to be a game where you think this is over and they've lost and they're going to win. This is what this year is going to be about. They're not the machine yet that you want where they're going to just roll out, you know, every week and give you the same performance. That's not them right now.
No, I would agree with that. But they don't have the knockout guy on defense.
They're missing a defensive. And it could be Aiden Hutchinson in years to come. No, I'm not talking about today. He could be that guy, or it could be – I don't think Rodriguez will be a type of knockout guy being a middle linebacker, but, you know, there's got to be a guy that the other offense fears. And until that guy consistently is out there on defense, you know, then they're going to struggle. And Okuda is playing good, but even the way he – a cornerback is not going to be feared unless he's taking the ball. And I don't think he's that type of corner. He's more of a Revis type than he is a Deion Sanders type.
We haven't seen enough of him yet to know anything.
Well, in college. I'm just going by his college. He wasn't a big interception guy in college. He hadn't been a big interception guy in the pros. He's more of a just a cover. Like Revis was never a big interception guy, but he could lock you down. He's more in that mold than he is in the Deion Sanders. I'm taking the ball away if you throw it over here mode.
Right.
So we'll see. Anyway, we're going to do our Friday Seattle review. That's why we're not talking about it today. So before we go, let's talk about Jared Goff. Mike, you go.
Well, I don't know if you agree with me or not. I think you probably do, but I think – I wouldn't say they found their quarterback because he's been here, but I think he's the quarterback of the present and the quarterback of the future. And look, he's 27 years old. He's got 10 good years, maybe 12 good years ahead of him, and he fits that team. He really does because, look, it's a young team. Do you really want to – if you have if you have your choice – do you want somebody 26, 27 years old with that team, or do you want somebody who's 35 years old in his last couple of years and he's just getting it through these next couple of years? You know, some aging has been. No, this is a guy who still has a chance to improve. And then depending on the system, depending on what he runs, I think he's got a good future here in Detroit. I think he's a good player right now. I think he'll be a better player as he goes along.
I can agree to a point with that. I say he's about five games away from being your quarterback for the next 3 years at least. Well, how long is this contract
going to be? Five games away. What do you mean?
I think I want to see eight games out of him.
Five years away?
No, I want to see eight games out of him first before I just say for sure this is the guy.
Did you like him last year?
Yeah, and I wasn't impressed until the last four games of the year.
Okay, well, that's where that's so he's
that's why I want to see him do eight games this year. I want to do the first eight games before I anoint him. But I am agreeing with you that you're not going to get anything better. And if you're going to try to get a rookie or a young one, that's going to put you back 2 years because you have to develop. You see all the rookie quarterbacks. Look at Trey Lance. He's basically back to square one now when he comes back next year. The guy, Wilson in New York, he's hurt. He's the square one guy. You know, the only one that's starting to play is
Daniel
the Jacksonville
Jones.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel Jones is iffy. I mean, he's been up and down, and he's hurt. Jacksonville quarterback now, Trevor Lawrence, is the only one now that's really – and he was the number one pick. And it took him a year and some change. So, you know, you're not going to draft a guy and have him come in right away and play for you 9 out of 10 times. So he's your quarterback. And you know what? He's the second best quarterback this franchise has had since Greg Landry. After Stafford, he's the best.
Yep, I agree with you.
You know, so just deal with it.
I agree with you.
Deal with it. And I want to see him take a little more leadership. Like I said, I want to see him go to Campbell on that fourth down and say, give me the ball. I got this. you know, and I want Campbell to say, you're the captain.
Right.
And do that. And when that, and he's starting to do it. You can tell, I've noticed in his press conference, and even when we talked to him during the camp or whatever, that he's more assertive this year. And him and Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator, they are in sync. And I can tell he has ownership of that offense.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So that's going to be it. So we got Seattle coming in, and the great Geno Smith train will be rolling in the Ford Field this Sunday. And, Mike, I looked at the schedule. I told you the schedule wrong. I don't know if I told the people on the podcast. They play New England next week. They don't play
the Patriots.
Yeah, I thought they played the Cowboys. The Cowboys is after the bye. So
no, I mentioned the Patriots. And yeah. I think you did too, honestly.
And it looks like Mac Jones is going to be out. He hurt his ankle, his high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
He's going to be out a few weeks. So
you know what? He's average.
Yeah,
average,
but even quarterback. Yeah, but I tell you who
but
ain't average.
But he's their quarterback.
I tell you who's not average is the guy behind him, the old Michigan State quarterback. You know, so I forgot his name at the minute as we speak, but he'll be the quarterback.
You know,
matter of fact, I always wanted the Lions to get him as a backup. Now they're not getting them. The name escapes me for a minute. You know what? I'm not even going to bother thinking about it. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. So so anyway, we'll wrap that up there then, Mike. And we'll, like I said, we'll do our preview Friday, another extra podcast. Any final thoughts on the collapse in Minnesota? Oh, and one other thing too. Reynolds, Josh Reynolds, keep running on those balls up in the silver. I mean, in the Metro or the
that's
new
the
stadium.
One, yeah, that's the one
that was a crusher. That was a touchdown to get out, and that was just a misplay. And
he lost it in the
yeah.
In
that
the
that
sun.
Light, they opened the light roof up, and the sun was shining. Okay, we can see that. But like I said, J-Mo Williams will be back in a few weeks, and you're gonna see balls like that a lot in the second half of the year because there's gonna be a lot of opening. They got too many offensive weapons when healthy. That you're not going to see wide open guys a lot. So get ready for
Williams.
It. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, Mike, that's it for today. Join us here again Friday on the podcast. Frank Ragnow this afternoon at 5:30 on the Mitch Albom Show. Check out Mike O'Hara on DetroitLions.com for his writings. And we'll see you Friday.